Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Greg Brown is brought to you by Xfinity, America's best internet service provider, according to speedtest.net. He joins us right now from PNC Park. Greg, who gets tasked, and does a good job. I'm not just tooting his horn because he's on the other end of the line right now on that Neil Huntington show once a week. And Greg, I thought Neil Huntington, as someone that, you know, roots for the Pirates and watches them, did not exactly give me hope or faith in their pitching staff for next year. When you asked him about pitching help for 2020, it was a 16-sentence answer, and he answered with 14 questions. And things have gotten worse since, with Trevor Williams on Monday and Chris Archer's injury last night. So from your perspective, having heard that answer and watched what's happened to this Pirates pitching staff, how hopeful or confident are you in the Pirates pitching turning it around next year?
Well, I mean, right now, the confidence level isn't terribly high, but so much can happen between now and next spring. And I tell you, I still have a ton of confidence in the guy. I felt badly because I wanted to ask that question earlier, Andrew, and I didn't give him enough time to really think about it and answer it. I'll bring it up again, I'm sure, in the next couple of weeks so that he has more time to answer it thoroughly. But, you know, the one thing about him, he's got critics on every front.
Who are you talking about, Huntington right now?
Huntington. He's kind of darned if he does, darned if he doesn't. I've actually heard suggestions that he'd be better off if he just lied and just told people what they wanted to hear. But that's just not the way he operates. So I think, and he has always said this, that, and I didn't expect him to say that he was going to go out and sign a big-name free agent. He brought up a couple of guys like a Jay Happ, I think it was one, if I'm not mistaken, I think a Volquez or a Liriano was another. And those are the types of guys that he's gone out and gotten in the past and has had success with. So,
but I don't think, Greg, the reason why there was criticism is because I don't think this rotation is going to turn it around with an affordable back-of-the-rotation starter. They need more than that, don't they?
Well, I guess, yeah, I would agree. I think they do need more than just a back-of-the-rotation starter. But Jay Happ turned out to be much more than that. Jay Happ turned out to be an ace.
Sure, and Jordan Lyles didn't. And, you know, I mean, that's the risk you take.
Exactly. So I think that's where we're headed. We're headed toward an offseason where I think he's going to go out and look for a guy more like a Jay Happ than a Jordan Lyles. And
although Jay Happ, you know, now in free agency costs, what, $50 million? I mean, that's what he got the last couple times out, the Blue Jays contract and the Yankees contract.
Well, he traded for Happ, of course, and when he traded for Happ, I was one of those that rolled my eyes and said, what in the world, they can't do better than a Jay Happ. And then, of course, after the season, I was also among those who thought they should sign him after the 2 months of brilliance that he had with the Pirates. So, again, he's darned if he does, darned if he doesn't. Now, he could go out, as I said before, they didn't trade Vasquez at the deadline. I'm not saying they're going to, but I could certainly see a scenario where a team like the Dodgers, and I don't know if we were on with you. I don't think you were. I think you were away.
I was having penis surgery, Greg.
You said it to me, Greg, that you thought if the Dodgers were to say.
Andrew, yes. I did not ask specifics. All you had to do was tell me that you were out. I didn't need any more details.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for that.
I'm being honest. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm taking the Huntington playbook.
Yeah, some people would say Andrew should lie about the nature of his surgery, but he's not that kind of guy.
Yeah, and you'll get ripped for being honest.
Oh, I don't want to. You don't want to get ripped when you're talking about that kind of surgery. Anyway,
I understand. But anyway, as we were saying, I still feel this way that they could go out and say a team like the Dodgers does not win the World Series, and the Dodgers say to themselves, "Boy, had we gotten Vasquez, we would have won the whole doggone thing." It puts more pressure on a team like the Dodgers to make a deal for a pitcher like Vasquez. So I could see a scenario this winter where they may not go free agent, Andrew, but they still have a piece or two that they could dangle out there to acquire a pretty good starting pitcher. And I think that they will. And because, again, as we said, and I said it to him Sunday night, without Tyone, even best case scenario, had he just had that flexor tendon surgery, Pirates are so conservative, he wouldn't have been back by May at the earliest. And they still would have needed someone to fill that void. And now that he's out for the entire year, in my opinion, they absolutely need to go find someone to fill that void.
Greg, I've been a pretty ardent backer for the most part of Neil Huntington.
Not lately.
Well, I'm getting to that. For a long time, back when the team wasn't good before their three-year run, I tried my best to defend them, or him specifically, when he didn't sign Jay Happ, a move I thought he should have made. Various other times where I have tried to weather criticism. You know, I've gone on the air and said, I think this is unfair. When he said to you that they had run 10,000 computer simulations at FanGraphs and only 8 times did a team with projected 500 talent go 4-24 in any point in time in the season, he lost me. And I mean that. It felt like one of the most tone-deaf statements he has ever made in his time as GM, given what this team is going through, what these fans are watching, to reference computer simulations to essentially say, well, you're watching an act of God level run of bad play here. I didn't appreciate that. What was your reaction to it when he said it?
I think I asked him to clarify, because in so many words, I said, you're not suggesting that had you not had this bad luck, you would have just ended up 500. That's not your goal. And he said, absolutely not. In so many words, I think that you know, but that was kind of the projection of the Pirates, which has been the case even when the Pirates went into those winning years, as they were going to that 98 win season. No one had projected they would win that many ball games. Most suggested they were going to be around a 500 club. And I think that's kind of what he was trying to say. And so I hear what you're saying. When the team loses, as they have been this year, there are bullets flying everywhere, and many are directed at the general manager, and he understands that. He knows that. But I think it's for me, it's all-encompassing. It's not just the general manager. It's everybody from the top down that it needs to be reassessed. And he also said that this organization will be under great scrutiny. Because I still have faith in the guy. Because I've been around too long, Chris and Andrew. I was here during most of those 20 years, 19 of the 20 years of losing. I've been in the front office previously. And for me, for how he is, he's under certain guidelines and restrictions, and I think he does a great job under those circumstances. So much so that the Giants came calling; they wanted him to be in charge.
Well, no doubt, Greg. But his own boss, Frank Coonerly, told the Post Gazette, "Injuries aren't an excuse, and payroll isn't an excuse." So, if that's how the president judges Neil Huntington, that's how I'm gonna judge it. You know, I respect,
I hear you.
And I respect that you're around him more than I am, and you have a better relationship, and you see firsthand the effect he's had on this team better than I have. But when you say you have confidence in Huntington, one of the areas where I used to trust him almost entirely, and we touched on it at the beginning of this interview, was they would find pitchers, that they would have reclamation projects, and they would work wonders on these guys. And watching Trevor Williams and Chris Archer and Mitch Keller, Greg, I don't know where that confidence comes from moving forward, that they're going to be able to sprinkle some magic dust on pitchers
anymore.
It's
gotten harder to do that.
Well, I mean, would you include Richard Rodriguez as a reclamation?
I wouldn't, because he's pitching on inning a night. I honestly wouldn't.
I mean, he's a nice success story, but, you know, 90-win seasons aren't built on the backs of Richard Rodriguez's, you know?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't agree with that, because part of the 90-win seasons were reclamation projects of Jason Grilley, for example.
Yeah, but Grilley was an all-star closer. Richard Rodriguez is what, a seventh-inning guy?
I know that, but he was still a reclamation project. He became an all-star closer off the scrap heap that Huntington found. So he was a huge part of it. That's all my point, is that you could definitely cite examples recently, and that's why they are in the funk they're in, because some of these things have not worked. And it is up to him to find the guys that, you're right, that will work. But he's done it in the past, and I'm not one that believes that all of a sudden he's not going to be able to do it again, that he's no good anymore. after what he, where he took this club from the depths of despair.
You feel that way about Hurdle? He had a jersey. You were in Williamsport. It said he's not done yet. And I hear speculation that some people seem to think that they might be able to buy him out, or he might retire and go do other things. I don't know. I heard him last night, Greg. He did not sound like a manager who's ready to fade off into the sunset.
No, I agree with you. I don't think he is. The fact that he wore that jersey, he's talking like he is not done yet. So I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know the direction of the club or the organization. I still strongly believe that Bob Nutting is not tone deaf. He still wants to win, and I know people don't like to hear that, but if he wanted to just lose and didn't care, then why in the world would he have even signed a Melky Cabrera or a Jung Ho Gung or a Jordan Lyles or a Francisco Liriano? That, to me, doesn't make sense either. If you just don't care, just then sign no one and pare the payroll down to $50 million a year. So I think that he does care, and I think that he is going to take a long, hard look at this, and I think changes will come. This, I don't know where, I don't know who, but I do think changes will come before next season.
All right, one more before we let you run, and you've been a good sport. We appreciate it, Greg. I took exception with what Marte said last night, that he said this is him having his best season. And my argument for that is I can't imagine another team leader on a team that's 21 games under 500 would want to say nice things about the type of individual season they're having. I can't imagine Andrew McCutchen at 52-73 would say I'm having his best season. Do you agree with me on that?
I didn't hear it, Andrew, so I don't know. This is the first I've heard of his comment.
He was asked straight away if he was having his best. Yes, he was asked straight away if he felt he was having his best season.
And he said yes.
Well, I don't know what he's supposed to say. No, it's not my
Thank
best
you.
Season.
That's the correct answer. Thank
well,
you.
Everybody's individual. I want guys to be individuals. I don't want them to give me a pat answer. And I also, I give guys a little bit of a break who are not from this country, guys from Latin America, who may not totally understand where these questions are coming from. So, I'm not trying to beg out on the question, but I would have to see the whole context.
Do you think
of
he's having a great season, Greg?
I think he's having his most consistent season, because there's no doubt we have not seen, I don't know the last time I saw him swing and miss at three straight pitches 5 feet in front of home plate. I mean, and so many times this year, and he'd make a bonehead play in the outfield or on the bases. I don't know when the last time I saw one. So yeah, no doubt in my mind, he's having his most consistent season. Does that mean he's having his best year? Maybe. I guess for me, all around defense, on the bases, at the plate, this is his best year. Where those numbers come out at the end, we'll see.
All right, Greg, we'll let you call the game. You know, we know you got that big Vanderbilt tuition to pay for, so these games still count for something with you. All right?
Thank you, guys.
Anchor down.
I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad you're feeling better, Andrew.
I'm getting there. Hearing your voice has raised my spirits, Greg.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome. Greg Brown.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.